coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. Welcome to the Hagman Report. I have a lot of information, a lot of news to get into. Investigations. Now, I'm an investigator, licensed investigator. I have been for 3.5 decades. Eric the Tech, investigator as well. We are investigators. We're not journalists. We're not broadcasters. And you can tell that, obviously, by the way I sound, right?
And the way you wear your earpiece.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. It's sticking out, isn't it? See, I don't know these things, all right? Now, if this was a surveillance piece, I could handle this, but okay. All right. But no, a lot of things to get into. Does that look better? Yeah, I guess.
I'll get the liquid tape out.
Get a liquid tape. Get the gorilla glue. All right. A lot of information to get into. And the reason I mentioned being an investigator, a couple of reasons. Number one is we dig deeper, I believe, than most platforms do. And number two, politics and investigations don't mix. All right, they just don't mix, which I have a disdain for politics. We have a uniparty in the United States. We have communism sweeping the entire planet. Actually, Luciferianism disguised or being called communism sweeping the planet. And here we are today. We're fighting this globalist agenda. And this globalist agenda is nothing more than this Luciferian takeover of our world. That's it. And this is a spiritual battle. This is not a political battle, but we have to talk politics. Sadly, we have to talk politics because it's part of the game. It's part of the venue. It's within the venue. It's within our purview. I don't know, new word. I'm just tossing out words. But the fact is, one of the dominant headlines today, of course, is the fight for Speaker of the House. Now, why do I bring this up? Because not only is it dominating headlines, this is the first time in 100 years the Speaker of the House hasn't been elected on the initial vote or the initial day of the vote, at any rate. In 100 years, a century. Okay, now that's the headline, but why is that? It's because of us. Okay, it's not this platform, but all of us. You, Eric the Tech, me, other broadcasters like this venue, this platform, waking people up and demanding change. That should be the headline. You have McCarthy just going, McCarthy is bought and paid for by the Communist Chinese Party and the World Economic Forum. Same new boss, same as the old. You get the idea. Going to be getting into that. Going to be getting into the Twitter files, the FBI files coming as well. With Twitter, the Twitter files, will be Fauci this week. That's going to be very interesting. I should also mention tomorrow, Steve Quayle will be on with me tomorrow, okay? We do have what used to be known as Patreon meetings this Sunday at 7 p.m. They're no longer Patreon meetings since Patreon said, we don't want the likes of you in our club. Good. We don't want you anyway. All right. So there's that announcement. But let's get right into today's program. Here's a video clip, it's under a minute, I believe. And this is going to be video 5. Folks, bookmark HagmanReport.com. By the way, we're going to be going through some changes here. Again, I've been reluctant to announce anything yet because it's not quite ready for prime time. But to really take 2023 and really be an agent of change for the good in the United States and perhaps worldwide. That's our objective. Can we do it? Absolutely, we can do it. Will we? Are we good? Can we be successful? Yes. With godly, righteous anger, affirmative, I don't want to say affirmative action, action that is effective. And again, godly, biblical, I believe that we can push off the misery, push away the misery from our children and grandchildren a little while longer. How long? I don't know. If it gives them another week, month, year, whatever it might be, 10 years of being able to be, or even a generation of being able to be a child like you and I remember our childhood. If we can save additional, and we are trying to save additional souls as we go through this, that's our objective. All right. But I'm going to play you this video just to give you kind of the state of the union, state of the union a little early this year. Again, this is under a minute. The radio listeners will appreciate this more than the video watchers, but both will understand this. Guess the location. Okay, that's the game here. I want you to listen to what's going on in the background. Guess the location. Here it is.
I'm just trying to go home. Damn. I'm just trying to get to the crib. What do you got, a grenade? Let me use y'all. I can't use y'all phone. I should have been in the house already, Bob. How am I still not stopping to be in the house? They dragging me. Oh, I can't go that way. I can't go that way.
All right. From our vast studio audience, any guesses? Wow, how quiet they are. Eric the Tech, you want to take a guess?
Well, I already know the answer.
Okay, that's no fair.
Chicago.
That's right. A Democratic blue city, that's Chicago. Lesbianic mayor, Lori Lightfoot, of course.
She's a beautiful lady.
She really is. I mean, she looks like a... embalmed chia pet. Okay. I mean, I don't know what else to say, except it's out of control. The reason I played that's the state of the union. If you think it's bad now, and that reportedly, that video was taken within the last week. So it's nothing unusual. You know, it wasn't from some riot or anything like that, but that's
not unusual. So.
Oh, man, Tom Jones, huh? You want to do that? Let's do that. Eric the Tech, he's got quite the voice. You got to hear him on the... When you play guitar, right? Or
I play all...
You do.
Main band instrument.
All right. I've seen him with, I believe it's a guitar. I don't know.
I'm a drummer at heart.
Drummer. I've seen you. I've seen you behind the drums too. So okay, I'm 99%. Yeah, it's been a while, but my goodness. All right. He's a man of many talents as well.
I can juggle too.
I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, but yes, you can juggle many tasks. I'll just say that. But again, the State of the Union, if you think about this, you see all the smash and grabs that we've got going on. You see all of this violence across the United States and the big cities. This is only going to get worse as this push for this globalist agenda heats up, because you're going to find more and more shortages. You're going to find this push toward this global currency, people being turned off money-wise. You're going to find just a number of things take place, none of which are good, and you're going to see violence ratcheted up. And by the way, every one of those shots, that bullet has to go somewhere. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? All right. Again, State of the Union, enough said there. The hit taken by the football player, and again, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and the family, who I believe is still on life support at the moment. There's a lot of talk, a lot of speculation. I do know that the injections, booster injections, were given within a couple of weeks, 2.5-3 weeks prior to the game. I don't know with any degree of certainty whether he received a booster or not, but the indication I have from my sources, who are fairly certain he did. So the cause, you know, I don't like to speculate with respect to the cause, but when you have an athlete, not just one, but numerous athletes going down with heart issues or clots or whatever the case might be, you have to have an adult conversation. You have to start asking questions. And this brings me to, of course, the war that was waged upon us, the people who resisted the shots, said, no, we're not going to do this for the job, our jobs. We're not going to do this for any reason whatsoever. These are untested, genetically modified jabs. They're not vaccines. We've been proved correct on this. There's a video out that's circulating. And this, again, is in response to, let's all just get together, sing kumbaya, and forget all of this happened. Let's just forget about this. Let's forget about the lockdowns. Let's forget about the, you know, making you take the jab. Let's just all get along. Can't we just all get along? You know that, right? So this video, I don't know the author of this video, but I think it states what this represents what all of us believe. I want to play this to reinforce where we stand and where I believe all people on the conservative Christian side should stand. That's just my view. Here it is. This is video 4 in the show notes, HagmanReport.com, today's episode, only at HagmanReport.com in the show notes. Video 4, here it is.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
People who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. For yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
About this, in a world of threats and tyrants and terror, you know what our biggest enemy is in America? Our fellow Americans.
They are the ones that are propagating this outbreak.
Being frustrated that there is still a percentage of the population who are not vaccinated.
I wish that he would go further to restrict the activities of the unvaccinated.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
That 25% can cause a lot of damage, and they are.
If you're willing to walk among us unvaccinated, you are an enemy.
Well, you know, it's my rights, and okay. But I don't care.
The pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Well, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
Freedom not to follow the facts, even if your freedom kills people? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of freedom do they really want?
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated, and they're sowing enormous confusion. The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer.
Shouldn't they have to pay more into the system because they are collapsing our health system? They're the ones in the ERs.
Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court.
It's almost like it's going to be two Americas.
Fits right in two Americas. All right. And that's and that's the objective of the so-called elite, the globalists, you know, the balkanization of America, the division. They're pushing for division and they're getting it. And frankly, I'm okay with this divide. And I think it's coming. And I think it's coming at a very fast pace. As I said this week, the evil is accelerating. Now, every one of those people that you saw there, you remember what they said. You remember who they are. Against the backdrop of what we saw on Monday night, that game, if in fact the facts prove that the jab juice was in part responsible for what we saw, okay? And even if it wasn't, even if that was a one-off, if that was an outlier kind of thing, understand that there are so many more athletes, so many more grandparents, so many more parents, so many more brothers and sisters and children, and especially the children. Understand what they're doing to us. We cannot afford to forget. Now, along with talking about the division, I have to talk about politics. I've got to talk about the speaker's position. Because again, in the first time in a century, this has happened. This shows you that we are making a difference. I don't want to come at this in any other way except that. Because otherwise, Kevin McCarthy would have been ushered in. You realize that Kevin McCarthy, the night before the vote yesterday, moved his furniture and files and such, his staff did, not him, of course, into the speaker's office. That's hubris. Whoops. I guess he's going to have to move them out, maybe. By the looks of things, there are 20 hard no's against McCarthy. You need 218 votes in favor of the speaker. He doesn't have it. He does not have it. And with each passing vote, you could see that support eroding. Now, if you want to know who Kevin McCarthy is, page one in the show notes, here it is. This is Kevin McCarthy. This is his entry on the World Economic Forum website. Take a look at what's written in the center, top, well, not the top, but the line, his position. Already, the World Economic Forum has decided that he's the majority leader of the U.S. House of Representatives. What in the heck is that all about? That's the World Economic Forum. Premature speculation there. That's Kevin McCarthy. Now, again, new boss, same as the old boss. I don't think I could say, a lot of this is, it could be handled by McCarthy if he would do a couple of things. Tucker Carlson last night, I thought was brilliant. His opening monologue, this is video number one on the show notes. Tucker Carlson pretty much explains it all in a way I could not do. He's talking about the chaos within the chamber there. He's talking about the fact that, hey, you know what? Hakeem Jeffries got 212 votes for House Speaker. How does that happen today in America? That shows the division. But that also shows, if you want to look at it as a glass half or glass half full, that shows that we're making a difference, that we are not going to take the same old boss routine any further. What could McCarthy do, perhaps, to ensure that he takes the position? Or for that matter, you can put any other person's name there. Tucker Carlson's got some great thoughts on this. This is just over 3 minutes. I urge you to listen and watch this if you didn't see this already. And if you did, watch it again, because you may see things you didn't see before. This is Tucker Carlson from last night. Here it is.
Tonight, happy first Tuesday in 2023. The fun never stops. We thought we'd be able to announce a new Speaker of the House tonight. We thought we knew who it was going to be. But no, the race for Speaker is still ongoing. Voting's been suspended for the day. It's going to resume again tomorrow. Now, the fact that this race has not been settled by now is being described, especially online by many, as embarrassing. And it is embarrassing if you prefer the Soviet-style consensus of the Democratic Party's internal elections, where votes are merely a formality and all the really big decisions, the meaningful ones, are made years in advance by donors. Oh, of course, everyone's on board. That's what they do. But if you prefer democracy to oligarchy, if you prefer real debates about issues that actually matter, it's pretty refreshing to see it. Yes, it's a little chaotic, but this is what it's supposed to be. Now, we're going to bring you a lot more detail on what's happening in just a minute and throughout the week. But first, a quick overview to frame the big points. So Kevin McCarthy of California was going to be Speaker. He badly wants to be Speaker. In fact, he wants that job more than anything else in his life. And he was going to get it, but then a group of 20 Republican members stopped him. Now, they stopped him because they decided that Kevin McCarthy is not conservative enough to represent a party that's just taken back the House from Nancy Pelosi. And they are definitely right about that. McCarthy is not especially conservative. He is, in fact, ideologically agnostic. He's flexible. His real constituency is the lobbying community in Washington. So if you've got sincere political beliefs, that is infuriating to watch. On the other hand, to be fair, this is politics, and McCarthy does have strengths. It's not easy being Speaker when the House is this closely divided. And in some ways, Kevin McCarthy is perfectly suited for that. He is skilled in politics, not a small thing. And critically, McCarthy is willing to spend the next 2 years living in hotel rooms raising money for his party ahead of a historic presidential election. What other Republican in the House is willing to do that? Well, as of tonight, and we have checked, no one has stepped forward. So really the pivotal question is, how badly does Kevin McCarthy want this job? 20 of his colleagues have just publicly disavowed him, loudly and again. So to win them back, McCarthy is going to have to give them something real. Not more airy promises, which he specializes in. He's going to have to give them actual concessions. If Kevin McCarthy wants to be the Speaker, he is going to have to do things he would never do otherwise. Like what? We can think of at least two things. First, release the January 6th files. Not some of the January 6th files and video, all of it. And not to some phony committee that will hide them, that in fact is designed to hide them from the public, but put them online. Release them to the public directly so that the rest of us can finally know what actually happened on January 6th, 2021. It's been 2 years. It's long overdue. It's our right as Americans to know. And McCarthy could tell us. Second, Kevin McCarthy could put Thomas Massie of Kentucky in charge of a new Frank Church committee designed to discover what the FBI and the intel agencies have been doing to control domestic politics in this country. They've been doing a lot. But no one in Washington wants to talk about it. This topic is effectively off limits and has been. In fact, no one's talked about it for almost 50 years. And so because no one has talked about it or stopped it, the rot has spread and democracy has withered. You can feel it. The FBI is now a bigger force in American elections than any single group of voters. This cannot continue. It is poison. And Kevin McCarthy is uniquely situated right now to stop it. So by striking a deal with his 20 colleagues, McCarthy could restore our system to health and at the very same time get the job he has always wanted. It's not so complicated. Let's hope he does it. As we said, more on that story in just a minute.
Well, no. That's an interesting take. This, Tucker Carlson, by the way, in case you missed this as well, he was one of the, I believe, the only anchor to talk about the release of files that implicate the Central Intelligence Agency's role in the Kennedy assassination. That came out over the Christmas time holiday season, New Year's holiday. I don't know whether you saw that or not. Probably should have had that at the ready. But the fact is, release the files, the January 6th files. Commit to it and then do it. And even do more than that. Investigate the heck out of why we still have January 6th prisoners and so on. You get the idea. The 20 holdouts, I believe, will grow. Now, Kevin McCarthy, again, when you look at Kevin McCarthy, the unelected World Economic Forum, this shadowy, shady group run by this perverted, in my opinion, perverted Austrian-German moron, this trade organization representing the interests of the thousand largest companies on the planet has, as you saw, already chosen McCarthy as the next leader of the U.S. House of Representatives. Consider that. Let that sink in for a second. How can that possibly be? Matt Gaetz. Look, again, politics, I've got a lot of disdain for politics and politicians. But when someone is speaking truths, okay, I've got to give them their due, okay? It's like, look, I've interviewed a lot of people, a lot of witnesses that I didn't care for, I didn't like. They weren't good people. But in the case that I was working, they were giving proper, they were giving the truthful information. Did I want to take their statement? Not really. Did I? Yes. Why? Well, it was the truth. It was backed up by evidence. All right. So sometimes you've got to get your hands dirty. And as bad as that is, you have to do it. Here's Matt Gaetz talking, digging. This is a deeper dig into the speaker position. This Matt Gaetz yesterday. Very interesting. Listen to what he's got to say. This is 3 minutes long. Here it is. Oh, I'm sorry. Eric the Tech. Can't you read my mind by now? This would be video two. Yeah. No, he's like, you didn't see it? Tell me what video that is. Yeah, it's video number two. Here it is.
Those of us who will not be voting for Kevin McCarthy today take no joy in this discomfort that this moment has brought. But if you want to drain the swamp, you cannot put the biggest alligator in charge of the exercise. I'm a Florida man and I know of what I speak. We offered Kevin McCarthy terms last evening that he rejected. We sought a vote in the first quarter of the 118th Congress on term limits. He refused. We wanted a budget from the Republican study committee that balances on the floor in the first quarter. He refused. We wanted the border plan that the Texas delegation put together on the floor. He refused. And it is true that we struggle with trust with Mr. McCarthy because time and again, his viewpoints, his positions, they shift like sands underneath you. Even Kevin McCarthy's own mentor recently said that the lies always change. And Mr. McCarthy is not only responsive to pressure from the right. Time and again, he has failed to achieve the goals that we seek on spending and on the fight. For months, we have been asking Mr. McCarthy for his battle plan. How do we ensure that we stand up for folks in the military who feel like they're being purged? How do we ensure that if there is the passage of a farm bill, it includes things like work requirements? And all we got was a handful of howdy and a mouthful of much obliged. So we do not want to be here at this moment. We would prefer to have a unity of purpose, but we will not continue to allow the uniparty to run this town without a fight. There's very little difference between Nancy Pelosi and her California delegation mate that seeks the gavel. And we want to change because this town is broken. And this is a person who has acknowledged in Mr. McCarthy that the town is broken. And he has been a part of that process for many years as a member of the leadership. We'll take some questions.
Let me ask the three of you a question here. So let me just clarify something. You're based on your remarks, Ms. Boebert's remarks, and Mr. Perry's remarks. Are you saying because we took things to this brink in the 11th hour right before the speaker's vote, he is unqualified to be speaker? In other words, a speaker, a leader, would have worked this out a long time ago.
Well, yeah, I reject the premise of the question. We did not take this to the brink. For many months, we have been presenting these ideas to Mr. McCarthy, and we have gotten strung along, and only on New Year's Eve did we see changes to the rules. And what's interesting about the meeting we just had is our colleagues broadly celebrated rules changes that many of us had been fighting for to ensure that we had an opportunity to read the bills before voting on them so that we did not get log rolled with multiple pieces of legislation put together that don't have the same subject, so that we had germanity rules so things like the National Defense Authorization Act wouldn't be amended onto a water infrastructure bill. And we did not get timely responses from Mr. McCarthy. We did not get responses from Mr. McCarthy because I think he thought that just by going on your network and others that he would browbeat us into submission to the swamp, and we're not going to do that.
Okay, you can cut that. The hostility of the press, by the way, I'd like you to take note of that as well. The hostility of the press. Who's the press working for? This reminds me of of the entire Russiagate thing, the hoax of Russiagate. This reminds me a lot of things that we've seen in the past where the media, they're not asking questions, journalistic questions. They're advocating, they're advocates. And when you've got, in my view, when you look through the entirety of that, the questions, and you listen as well to CNN or MSNBC, and you listen to these people saying, hey, you know, maybe what's the possibility of having a coalition government? Where in the hell is that in the Constitution, by the way? All right. When you see that taking place, you can see the level of desperation. And again, I don't like necessarily to talk politics, but we have to in this case because this, in my view, in the glass is half full, or looking at it as a glass being half full. What's happening today in the House is a direct result of the pressure being put on the House members not to elect the same boss as the old boss, not to elect Nancy Pelosi 2.0, not to elect a WEF member, not to elect someone beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. This is huge in terms of America's being hanging in the balance. I'm very interested to see where this is going to go. But I'm enthused to see the erosion of support for McCarthy. Because again, McCarthy's bought and paid for CCP, WEF, name the organization, name the lobbyist firm, and it's the same stuff, different day. All right. You know, we still have to take care of business and we still have to take care of our families. And taking care of our families, I can't think of a really, I cannot think of a more important thing to do right now, today, than making sure our families are taken care of in this environment, in this, what we're facing. When you heard that clip, you saw that video clip of Chicago. I mean, it's hard to imagine this happening all across America, the big cities in America. But even without that, and without regard to that, you still have to take care of your families. And one way to do it is through having the proper life insurance. I've got one word for you, Policy Genius. That's Policy Genius. You know, it's so important to have life insurance in a way that makes sense for your family. If something happens to you, you want to make sure your wife, your children, or whoever, they're taken care of. You don't want them to be facing funeral expenses, not knowing where that's coming from, or how they're going to keep the house. You get the idea, right? All of this is important. And you might think, well, I've got insurance through my workplace. Folks, look, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. And most often it doesn't. And it's not going to follow you if you quit your job or go somewhere else. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as we age, now is the time to buy. And that's why I recommend PolicyGenius.com. Look, if this was around when I was, if this was around 15 years ago, 20 years ago, man, I would have jumped on this in a heartbeat. I remember being a captive agent for an insurance carrier for just a brief time, a licensed agent. And companies like this would frighten me because the comparing of quotes, get the lowest and the best policy for the lowest amount of money. That's what Policy Genius does. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it so easy to compare life insurance quotes from the top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 of coverage. Can you believe that? Believe it. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and perhaps avoid unnecessary medical exams. How great is that? They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. And trust is important when you're dealing with matters like this. Folks, your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find it and buy it. Head to policygenius.com. That's all one word, policygenius.com. Or click on the link in the description and get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. And I want to thank them for being a good company, offering some great products, and taking care of a lot of people that I know. All right, continuing on, the FBI, the intelligence community, the rot is everywhere. I found this, and this was at the Gateway Pundit, I believe. Yes, the Gateway Pundit. I saw this, and I had to read this two or three different times because I was like, really? Are we really serious about this? FBI agent to get probation tomorrow for destroying evidence in Arkansas political trial. You heard me right. You heard me right. Now, hang on a minute here. I'm going to get to this on my screen so I can read this just a little bit here. No, I'm not going to read all of it, of course. But tomorrow in Fayetteville, Arkansas, former FBI agent Robert Cesario. He's going to finalize a plea agreement to a felony with his former employer, the FBI, who is now prosecuting him. Now, what's wrong with that? There's a whole lot wrong with that. But anyway, that's the Department of Justice, by the way, in which he's going to receive this absolutely insanely lenient 1 year of probation for destroying evidence in a political trial involving former pro-Trump Arkansas State Senator John Woods. Think about what I just said. Here is a guy, an FBI agent, who destroyed evidence that could exonerate a state senator in a corruption probe, political trial, a pro-Donald Trump state senator, John Woods. And he's getting off with a year probation. Now, if that was you or I, well, it doesn't even have to be you or I. Think about actually just walking onto the so-called restricted Capitol grounds after Ray Epps or others perhaps removed the signage about certain areas outside of the Capitol being off limits. And they're still in jail, the January 6th defendants. And here's an FBI agent who violates a state senator's rights by destroying evidence. And he's getting off with a year's probation. Oh, he gets fired, but a year's probation. And here's the kicker. Even worse, John Woods, the state senator, is still in prison, even though the government admitted destroying evidence in this trial that could have been vital to his defense. He's admitting, this mope of an FBI agent, the rot's only at the top. Bullcrap. The rot's throughout the system. He admitted to one count of obstruction of justice. Just one count. And he's, again, 1 year of probation. So just imagine him drinking Mai Tais by the pool with an ankle bracelet on. Probably not even that. This is why we have to defund the FBI. Which brings me to my next and perhaps one of the most important pieces of information in the show notes. This is page 2. This is a very, very long and involved... I'm sorry about that. Here I am pressing buttons. This is a very long and involved unrolled Twitter thread. This is page 2 in the show notes. And the thread is labeled Twitter and the FBI, quote, belly button, end quote. Now, I want to go through this as quickly as possible because this is so extremely important because it lays bare the corruption of the FBI, as if you need more evidence. Well, you know what? In a sense, we do. Any evidence, all evidence is important. Now, Robert Cesario might not think so, the former FBI agent, now on probation will be on probation starting tomorrow for a year. But all the evidence is important. As you go through this Twitter thread, the Twitter files, Twitter and the FBI belly button. And I would urge you to read it all. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, download this, print it out, read it, read everything, follow all the links. I can't do that now, but just a couple of points here. Number 2. By 2020, Twitter was struggling with the problem of public and private agencies bypassing them and going straight to the media with lists of suspect accounts, okay? You have to follow me on this because this kind of... Just follow me on this. Or just hang with me and it'll come together. In February of 2020, as COVID broke out, the Global Engagement Center, okay, now remember that name, Global Engagement Center, a fledgling analytic intelligent arm of the State Department, that's the government of the United States, went to the media with a report called, quote, Russian disinformation apparatus taking advantage of coronavirus concerns. Under that, you can see that there on GEC letterhead is that title and that report. The GEC, this is number four, flagged accounts as Russian persons and proxies based on criteria such as describing the coronavirus as an engineered bioweapon, blaming research conducted on the Wuhan Institute and attributing the appearance of the virus to the CIA. What they're saying there, of course, is if you question the origin of the of COVID, if you said, hey, it was a lab leak, not of natural origin, then we have to call you, we have to label you as spreading Russian disinformation. This is by the FBI, okay? At the urging of the FBI. Understand this. Anyone identified as spreading that information would be a Russia-linked account or classified thereas. And the letter, you can see the different pages there, and it's marked unclassified. This is not hard to believe, but it's so egregious. I cannot understate the importance of just this thread. The state also flagged accounts that retweeted news, the Department of State, I should say, that retweeted news that Twitter banned the popular U.S. Zero Hedge, claiming the episode that led to another flurry of disinformation narratives. Zero Hedge had done reports speculating that the virus had a lab origin. All right? And just by speculating, just by saying, hey, it could have had this lab origin, bang, they were flagged, banned, stomped on. Incredible. Well, maybe not incredible. The GEC still led directly to news stories, like the AFP's headline, Russia-linked disinformation campaign led to coronavirus alarm, U.S. says. And a Politico story about how Russian, Chinese, Iranian disinformation narratives echo one another. What they're doing is deflecting blame and saying anything other than our narrative is, of course, disinformation, Russian disinformation. This is what everyone needs, really, that I really want to push home, drive home. If you followed Russiagate, if you understand what they did to Donald Trump, what Hillary Clinton, her and the DNC, her campaign and the DNC, and the FBI, and the Five Eyes, the entirety of the intelligence community, what they did to Donald Trump, like him or hate him, I don't care. No one should have to go through that. This, what they did here, is the same thing. This is the exact same template they used. Exactly the same. And then you can see, as this thread goes, you can see all of a sudden Twitter is being overwhelmed by FBI requests. Hey, you got to take this down. We can't keep up. You got to, oh my gosh, look, here's another lab origin tweet. You got to take this account down. You got to ban this account, that account. Number eight, we're happy to work. And by the way, there's like 40 roughly 40 tweets on this. We're happy to work directly with you on this instead of NBC. There's a Twitter trust and safety chief, Yul Roth, okay, who was really the recipient of a lot of these requests. And he replied that, yeah, we're fine. We're okay. We're happy to work with you, FBI, on this instead of NBC. Now, Roth tried in vain to convince outside researchers like the Clemson lab to check with them before pushing stories about foreign interference to the media. In other words, they, Twitter, attempted to be the arbiter of all of the information with respect to the coronavirus. I cannot possibly understate the importance of these disclosures. If Musk, and I'm not a Musk fan, if nothing else came from this in and of itself is extremely important, just as the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, all of that. I mean, what we're seeing right now is this outpouring of evidence that shows that everything that we were talking about, regardless of the subject, we were correct and are correct. Which, if I can go back around to the beginning of, somewhat to the beginning of the show, this is why you've got pressure being put on Congress right now, the conservative, in quotation marks, members of Congress. This is why you've got 20 and growing people saying, hey, McCarthy, our constituents, they're not going to be happy if we vote for you as speaker. I've heard from them. So we are making a difference. You've got to understand we're making a difference. And thank God we're making a difference, at least a little bit, even that much. But you know what? I'll take that victory. This, how many, let's see, how many tweets is this? 39, 40. And there are more. TK News by Matt Taibbi. So I've got to tell you what, there's a lot of information here. Just a ton of information. You don't need me to walk you through it. I just want to make sure you know it's there. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link for this. And please, if you do nothing else, read this, read all of this. Follow the links, print this out if you can. Because this shows you the corruption, the influence by the FBI, by the intelligence community as a whole. This will show you as well that, you know, something of this magnitude, of this globalist agenda that we're facing, could not be planned or orchestrated by any one person, any one group. Look, we're told in the Bible that there is one being capable of such an undertaking, and that, of course, is Satan, Lucifer, and this is what we're fighting. We're fighting this spiritual battle. He understands, Satan understands our fallen nature very well. He doesn't need a wide, as we're seeing here right now, he doesn't need a wide variety of deception and lies to use on us. He could use the same lie over and over again, and this is what we're seeing today. There's only really two satanic lies, or lies of Satan, that really, I believe, are perhaps necessary or that serve as purpose. One is to cast doubt on God's word and to twist and change God's word to mean something that's entirely different from what God originally intended. And the second, the second would be a tactic as well, to convince us that we have the right, the ability, and the power within us to become like God, or small g's, God, God's small g's, small g. Isn't that what the World Economic Forum, isn't that what the Party of Davos, isn't that what the Yuval Noah Harari's, aren't those people, isn't that what they're trying to do? This is what this is all about, this fight. Whether it's the fight on the congressional floor, and you can see it. Can you not look at that and almost see or feel the there's a palpable sense, I believe, of the demonic. And I'm not trying to overstate this or whatever, but I mean, the evil is pervasive. And if we can have a few good people stand up and say enough is enough is enough, then that's a small victory in my view. One last thing, and this is, I don't talk a lot about the international, so the war in Ukraine. I don't talk much about that. Or at least as much as I should. But one thing that caught my eye, and this is from CNN, okay? And again, this is, to me, this is extremely critical to me. A single Iranian attack drone found to contain parts from more than a dozen U.S. companies. I don't know how many people have seen this. Again, this is nothing new. You know that we are providing parts and weaponry and such. But wait a second. What does that say again? A single Iranian attack drone was found to contain parts from more than a dozen U.S. companies. So I ask you, how does that happen?
Can make that stuff, but nothing else.
There you go. Read that article. Understand how long this has been going on. Understand that war is not, that the Ukrainian war, the Russian-Ukrainian war has been planned for a long, long time. And the players, of course, the U.S. arms shipments, the money, the laundering, all of this is all part of a larger agenda. And that agenda, of course, is this globalist satanic agenda. They want to depopulate the earth. They want to kill us. They want to enslave us. They want to enslave us and kill us. They want to do the so understand how big this is. But right now we find ourselves in a game for, this is for all the marbles. We're at the fourth quarter, and we're fighting our best. But the fact of the matter is, time is short, and that's why I believe our only way, the only way to win this, is to understand, number one, the battle is spiritual. Number two, subjugate ourselves, or to give ourselves completely over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to understand that we are to stand firm, never, ever be disobedient, always be obedient, and to do our jobs, stay in our lane, do our jobs, read our own mail, listen to what God tells us to do, and then do it, be obedient and do it. That's it. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. We're fighting a major, major war. Now it is on, and I don't believe it's going to stop. More about that with Steve Quayle tomorrow. Folks, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for your support as we go through all of these Wow, these blows and shots across the bow. Thank you, and may God bless each and every one of you.